Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness, and I'm here with my friends. Hi, guys.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again. And it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness. And as you all know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an online unity ministry, a hybrid unity ministry. We called it the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And the shortcut, as we always say, because we love people to get there quick, is ucfyp.com.
Yeah, we are in a get it quick, get it done society, aren't we?
We are indeed.
So I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my absolute word and my calendar that shares where I'm appearing around the country via Zoom. I am a virtual guy now. Before we do anything else, I think you should tell people about your new Twitter account.
Absolutely. And actually, the Twitter account has been around for quite a while, but we have started now posting every day. Bill is posting some inspirational, spiritual, enriching statement every single day for you. So you could go there. It is our little handle is at Metaphysical Web. So you can go to twitter.com and then go to search for Metaphysical Web. And you will every day get something inspirational.
Yes. So Bill, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, yeah, it's based, each tweet has relationship to evidence-based science, faith-based spirituality, and metaphor-based metaphysics. And I played with some of the words, of course, that I put up to really get people thinking. And so it's a pretty deep thought type Twitter, but also one that's, I add humor to it as well.
Little Bill-isms are in there.
I've got those. For example, one of the ones that you'll be seeing very soon is contemplating the nature of reality from a quantum physicist perspective is really quantum plating reality.
I love that, quantum plating.
So we have a new word, quantum plating. I'm quantum plating that.
Quantum plating. We might have to have an occasional segment that we talk about some of these words that Bill makes up. And what was the one you shared with me, what we haven't had on the program a week or two ago?
Ridiculate.
Yeah. Yes. Now, ridiculate refers to those people who are, as it suggests, ridiculous in their perspectives and some of the stuff they're selling, which just seems so ridiculous. And so we called them ridiculators or these people are ridiculating. So there's actually two words associated with ridiculate.
And so then there's also ridiculation.
Ridiculation. There you go.
Yes.
Sure. It's a whole new verb, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. And so as you guys know, we're in this series of spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. So we're debunkers. So does that make us bunkers and debunkers?
Right.
Not bonkers, but bunkers and debunkers. And we're continuing our exploration of premises based on my book, Use the Truth You Know, Unity's Principles and Premises. And we're actually taking a deeper dive into these. We've reviewed them before, but now we're doing them in a little bit different perspective, offering a way to make them more personal. And of course, at the end, we'll be looking at the absolute word, and the word is kindness. So, Cher, where are we for those people who do have the book?
Yeah, if you have the book, we're going to be picking up on page 177 at the top, the first full paragraph. I think I'd like to review what the actual premise is we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We covered some of it last time, but the premise itself, which is on page 176, and this one, some people have some fun with this one and have some issues, but we limit principles or divine ideas in order to manifest an inner experience, our bodies, as well as some of the events and things in the physical realm beyond our bodies. We limit principles, divine ideas, in order to manifest an inner experience, our bodies, as well as some of the events and things in the physical realm beyond our bodies.
Yeah, and so then we turn that into the first person, and it would be, I limit principle or divine ideas to manifest an inner experience, my body, as well as some of the events and things in the physical realm beyond my body. So that's what we do. And that's how inner experience and manifestation occurs.
Right. And so we talked about limit, the word limit, and sometimes we might replace that with refine or other words that we take that divine idea and create it into what we need and want and desire.
Yes. And the one power that is important to that would be the power of imagination. And if we understand that principle or divine idea is another way in which Charles Fillmore defined substance, then we could say we're using imagination to shape substance. And in order to do that, we have to have faith, don't we?
Right. And will.
And will.
Choose how we plan to do it. So.
Exactly. So what we're going to do now is just look at a few of the quotes that relates to this concept.
Okay. This comes from Charles Fillmore's Christian Healing, the book Christian Healing, chapter 3. We must learn the law of expression from the abstract to the concrete, from the formless to the formed. That's really describing limitation, right?
Yeah, so this is such a simple concept, and we do it so unconsciously that we're not even aware that that's what we're doing. Whenever we're manifesting, whenever we're demonstrating, we always start at something more abstract, and then we limit it or form it or shape it into something very specific, first in mind or consciousness, not brain, first in mind and consciousness. And then we decide whether we're going to take some sort of action to express it or manifest it or demonstrate it in the outer realm. And the one that I've worn out is, if you want a table, you're thinking you need a table, you start with the abstract idea of a table, and then you can design a table yourself, or you can walk around any store and you see all the ways in which individuals or teams have gotten together to take that abstract idea of table and make it something very specific in the outer realm.
And quantum physicists would agree with us, folks, because what we're talking about is collapsing the wave function from wave to particle. And that's limiting infinite potential into one idea. And we're even limiting that one idea to what Paul's suggesting, table, where you see thousands of different types of tables.
Yes, so I love that concept, but Cher had something to say first. So
I was just going to use another metaphor to help people see it in a couple of different ways. And this struck me this week because I've been playing a lot with recipes. And I thought, you know, this is exactly the same thing, that you have this idea of, or this divine idea of how you want to, what you want to eat. And you think about it and you come up with this abstract idea, and then you look for a menu. And then if you're like me, after you look at the menu, then you look at what you've got available, which may not always be what's in the menu you see, but it gives you an idea. But then 10 of us could take that same recipe and create something totally different as we refine it or shape it based on our taste and interest and what we have available.
Wow, this is such a good example. So if we look at this, the desire driving this, we could say is the need to eat, right?
Yeah, right.
Or it might be a desire to show off for Thanksgiving, you know, or to do something
big. Be creative, you know?
Yeah, so this is definitely a creative process, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about all these ways with, this captures it in a way that I think is more understandable. And so you start with this idea, I'm hungry, and then recipe, and then a specific type of recipe. Let's say it's making a turkey since it's Thanksgiving week for us. And then you're looking all about the specifics. And like Cher said, you're going to modify it to suit yourself.
Right. Right. Now, like I made giblets and stuffing. I don't like those.
Oh, I don't like giblets and stuffing.
And I throw that out in a heartbeat.
Giblets need to be in the garbage as far as I'm concerned.
We're going to get some comments on this.
However, we respect those who do like giblets.
As long as they don't make me eat them.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this is the intersection that Bill just talked about. In Unity, we talk about this infinite field of potential being made up of these discrete concepts we call divine ideas, right? That's how we think of it. However, what if we thought of that infinite realm of potential simply being this amorphous substance? And I don't particularly like that word, but we could just say it's something that we lay hold of and we start giving it shape and form by making it a concept. And then we limit that concept, then we limit that concept or shape it or mold it. And it's analogous to if we gave each one of our listeners a lump of Play-Doh and said, make something out of this, everyone would make something unique out of the same Play-Doh.
Right.
And the Play-Doh would be the infinite field. And the specific thing in this sense would be analogous to the particle.
Yeah.
What if that's the way things work?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Wow. And the word that you just used, Paul, amorphous, I think is perfect because what that tells us is we don't create something from nothing. Charles Fillmore nailed it when he said from the formless to the formed.
Yes. Yes. And the formless relates to, remember way back, I don't even know how many years ago we were doing Infinite Potential with Lothar Schaefer, and he said something like, everything is based on non-empirical forms, which is really non-measurable forms, yep. Non-empirical forms that are thought-like, existing in something that is mind-like.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. And what if we're the ones giving shape to that original quote unquote non-empirical form?
Yep. Yep. Wow. And the brain simply registers what the mind comes up with.
Yes. We've talked about it being like a radio set something like that. So it's like a computer in the way, but it's the nuts and bolts of it. Right. Yeah.
And it kind of connects to our body so we can physically do what it is we're thinking. You know, it sends all the messages. It takes care of getting those messages out to our body.
And I think you said that much too gently, because it's looking like more and more we are so hardwired to our bodies that we might as well just own it, because we use our minds, our consciousness to reshape our physical brains.
Yeah. I mean, really true.
Healing produces, I used to say biochemistry, but we might have to say electrobiochemistry in our bodies, because when we think about synapses and that between nerve cells, there are signals being passed along. So it's really fascinating how all these things we thought were separate really are at least interrelated.
Yes.
And maybe different forms of the same thing.
Yep. And once it gets to us, it's what I call the neuroverse.
The neuroverse. Oh, yeah. Another word. This is a thing. Bill, you got to save these up. Did we want to do that next quote from Atom Smashing Power of Mind?
Yes, let's do that. We did a lot on one sentence, didn't we?
We did. So that is the law. It's the law of manifestation. Okay. However, we could say there's a law of demanifestation that Charles doesn't talk about. As long as it's something in mind, an idea of mind, you can always deconstruct it and go to levels above it that are more abstract and then start over again. So it's really a two-way street.
Wow. That's one of the activities we had in our Power Up Your Life book, or Power Up, both books that talk about the 12 powers. One of the activities we had people do was to pick something they've already created and back engineer it. What's it called? Reverse engineer it. Work backward until you get to step by step how you got from the big idea,
right,
and how that worked. And we had them go backwards. So there's a little activity people can play with a bit to practice.
Yeah, those books, look it up.
And I've got to say this too. One of the brilliant things Charles Fillmore gave us, one of the brilliant perspectives he gave us, was to go beyond what is normally known, even in science, because you see, when Charles was with us, he was living under classical physics. And he came up with his brilliant truths. Imagine what he could have done living under quantum physics.
And
where he would have taken us.
Oh, wow.
So what is interesting about that comment, Bill, is that Christian Healing was first published in 1909.
Yeah.
So we're pretty sure that that material occurred before that, before quantum physics started to appear. Mm-hmm. However, later on, after Christian Healing, there are references to people we would call quantum physicists today. They were the early pioneers, and their names aren't coming to mind to me right now today, but I can assure you they were there in the writings. And so he was already dabbling in that. But the important point is the one you made, is this particular thing was prior to anything that I'm aware of about quantum physics.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So
with our extra little discussion there, we probably need to make a
shift. Yeah, I think we need to pivot. So remember that the process of creation in mind begins from the abstract and ends up to the formed or the concrete. And if you think about it, if you're building a wood table, you have these kind of abstract pieces of wood that you then have to shape in a way to make in the table. So it kind of happens in the outer realm as well as the inner realm. And so now we're going to shift to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And of course, these are from Sunday. This is from Sunday, November 15th, 2020. And the word is kindness, a word that we should all take to heart, to remember to be kind to others, and especially to be kind to ourselves. The affirmation is, I give and receive kindness from divine love. Kindness is a demonstration of divine love, benevolence, and generosity. When I think of kindness, I feel warmth, connection, and love in my heart. I smile as I recall all the ways my friends, family members, and others have showered me with kindness. I feel grateful and blessed as I relive those moments of kindness shared. Gratitude, love, and a beautiful awareness of connection fill my heart and mind as I share kindness with others. The movement of electrons through a wire creates a current. Similarly, kindness flows from person to person, creating a current of love, benevolence, and generosity. I look for opportunities to be kind because giving and receiving are essential to this current of love. I welcome with a grateful heart the kindness others share with me. I give and receive kindness from divine love. And what I mean by that, divine love, again, one of the ways we experience it is our ability to desire, and you have to desire to be kind. Mm-hmm. And as you desire to be kind, benevolence is involved and generosity is involved. Okay, friends, so that wraps up another Metaphysical Romp 2. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you to Bill and Cher for another fun program. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. And we are so grateful for you for listening.
And before I say goodbye, I just want to say we had talked about tweeting a little earlier in our program. The movement of electrons and the current of love would make an excellent tweet, by the way.
There you go. There you go. So you'll see it in a tweet in the future. Bye, everybody.
Bye.